This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dee Dee Smith is with the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. Say that five times fast. And she was at the big meeting today, the latest chapter in the water wars here in Central Virginia between the city and the county as they seek to figure out how to best ensure a future water supply needs of our growing region. So this meeting took place this afternoon. It was called by the county, invited the city to come in, right?
Right, exactly. After the county had made it very clear there was no compromise. So
I
this
am
was
not
you know,
compromise.
Quite the intrigue.
The county said we will not
I am not gonna compromise.
No compromise when it comes to the water supply plan. And they were very honest with the DEQ and they said we're not gonna compromise. We're just gonna spend our efforts trying to change the mind of those on city council to go back and support the plan that we want, this 2006 plan, which I think has been shown to be based on very faulty research. And I'm being generous with that. Right. But the county was, what did you see today? Where was the meeting and what happened?
Okay, well, the meeting was held at the Alamo County office building on McIntyre here, right down the street. And it was, they made it very clear, oh, this is all about information. I'll tell you, I didn't see a lot of compromise at all. It was cordial, and there was information passed along, but...
Was it just the city and the county, or was the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority there?
Well, they were in the room.
Okay.
And Tom Frederick was at the table.
Yeah.
But it was just the Board of Supervisors and City Council, and a lot of Alamo County Service Authority folks were there as well in the audience, but they didn't participate.
And it was not a public hearing. There was no public comment.
There was no public comment, but the room was packed. And there was a demonstration outside the building before, Dredge Now, Dam Later. Some folks I know. Didn't happen to be in that demonstration.
I would imagine you would know those folks.
Yeah, I know. I knew them all. But anyway, it was nonetheless an interesting meeting. There was a lot of talk about a new cost estimate. This was the breaking news today, that now that Black & Veatch has shown that they can build a dam of the same height cheaper than Schnabel. Schnabel has now found out that they can build their earthen dam cheaper. Although I'll tell you, it's still not as cheap as Black & Veatch's estimate to build the same size dam. On the
Interesting.
Existing dam.
And just to remind folks, Schnabel Engineering is the firm behind the old 2006 plan that the county is still fighting for. And Black & Veatch is the engineering firm that's been working with the city to figure out some new, cheaper, leaner, meaner alternatives.
Well, interestingly, that's not entirely accurate because the Schnabel is actually not designing the plan that was approved in 2006. And this is a really important point because the county basically accused, at least one supervisor accused the city of breaking trust because they approved the 2006 plan. But, you know, the 2006 plan, first of all, when they approved it in 2006, both the city and the county, it was for a phasing of the height of a concrete dam. This is what Black & Veatch, this is like what the city's coming back to, actually, although in a little variation. And in fact, Schnabel is a new design engineering firm, different than who was originally, you know, designing the 2006 plan. And
the one that scammed us all years ago,
Yeah, and has said, no, we think you should build an earthen dam. So really, we're not talking about the 2006 plan. We hear that a lot. You approved the 2006 plan. Well, guess what? Nobody's talking about the 2006
plan. See, that is a huge point that I wasn't even aware of. So the county is really pushing for a new plan themselves.
Exactly.
They're not even arguing for the old plan.
Exactly.
They've already abandoned the old plan, too.
And in fact, the city's plan is a lot closer to not only the 2006 plan, but it is a really interesting blend of the 2002 plan, which preceded the 2006 plan, because it incorporates
dredging.
Conservation and dredging in a big way. And
using the resources that we already have instead of abandoning them.
And new and innovative technology. And the city councilors, I'd like to say particularly Kristen Sakis, did a fine job of defending conservation and its impact on what the size of the dam would ultimately be.
Yeah.
And not, you know, the Board of Supervisors didn't want to hear it. And there was a lot of talk about dredging, but the Board of Supervisors are saying, well, maybe we'll do dredging, but it's not going to count towards supply, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because not only will it...
It's such a political move. Yeah, we'll dredge, but the water we get from dredging, we don't want to count that as extra water for water supply, which is... Yeah, that's got to be so frustrating because it's... Oh, man.
Well,
as a ratepayer who pays for water,
exactly.
I got to tell you, that just ticks me off. So you want to act like you don't have water so you can charge me more so you can build new infrastructure even though you're getting more water from dredging.
Well, not only that, but they're not talking about how it will be funded. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, sure, I want this and I want that, but there's no funds available. So we're not going to count it as part of our water supply plan because we don't want it to be funded that way. And we don't want to count the capacity. And let's be really clear, we're not just talking about what kind of capacity we will restore by pulling out the sediment that's already there. We're also talking about the loss of capacity that they anticipate. And that's an even greater capacity.
Now, I'm confused now.
Okay.
We're talking about Dede Smith at 515, 516.
Can I try to explain that?
And so dredging did come up at the meeting today.
Dredging did, and it was not received well by the county, but the city, of course, is very interested.
Yeah.
And let's
because at the end of the day, as I understand it, there's no reason that we should not be dredging our existing water reservoir to contribute to the water needs that this community has.
Exactly.
Period. And that's all the city is saying, let's do. Let's dredge our existing water reservoir to contribute toward the water needs of the community. And the county is saying no.
No. And not only that, but the implication is that they need to build this huge new dam and make all this new water because they're not going to dredge. And we're talking about 1 billion gallons of water. That is how much they have to add to Ragged Mountain to make up for not only what they have lost, but what they anticipate they will lose at the South Fork Ravana Reservoir.
It just continues to me. The county position just continues to me. To me, to be just an example of the very worst of government at its worst. It's a complete fraud. It really is a fraud against the people.
What's really I found fascinating is just sitting here watching this meeting and thinking one of the problems. This may be a simplistic view of it, but is that about the Board of Supervisors are not a terribly diverse group of administrators, and they are neither of the Depression era, so there's not sort of this sense of we need to, you know, maintain what we have and save money, but they're also not of a progressive era. They're not that young, so they don't have this sense of conservation. So whereas the city councilors really, even though they're not in that age group either, they're looking at both of those really important principles. You preserve what you have. You maintain what you have. You don't just throw it away and buy something new. And we're going to look to the future. We're going to see where our new technology, where the 21st century is going to take us. And both of those are absolutely critical to this discussion.
Well, and I think there are also one question I always ask whenever I hear politicians speak is as I think to myself, who are you speaking for? Who do you really represent? Who are you standing up and advocating for? And I clearly see on the part of some of the outspoken members of city council in this conversation that they're really advocating for the folks in the city who are going to be asked by and large to bear the brunt of the costs of all this new infrastructure. Some of it needs to happen. We have things that need to be fixed up. But the county wants to push through this very expensive all new infrastructure and abandon all the existing infrastructure and act like it's not even there.
It's true. And again, and I believe it was Kristen again, who did defend the city residents, particularly those for whom this will be a real financial burden. And, you know, to say, you know, that this is who they represent. And so, I mean, she was doing the right thing. And I hope all city councilors will do the right thing in putting the interests of their constituents first.
Yeah.
We really need that because nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah. And the members of the Board of Supervisors, I would argue, they're really representing the interest of the county developers and the folks who want to build new neighborhoods. That's who really wants all this new infrastructure.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's not people who are on paying water now. I pay water now. I'm not sitting around thinking, oh, we got to have this big new day. I'm not thinking that. But every developer really has their eyes on this. Richard was at the meeting today. Richard, you go ahead really quick.
Yes, Dede, I was sitting at the meeting today, and there was so much misinformation that was offered, such as basic facts as what is the demand analysis? What is the design parameter, you know, being 18.7, which is a 2055 number? What is our current usage? We're supposed to be lowest in the state in usage. This is talk of methane that's going to be released. Ann Malik was talking about methane is going to be released. It's going to cause global warming. And do you think we're ever going to get past this until all of these issues just cease to be put on the table? I mean, it's meaningless and it's misinformation, and it's been proven to be such.
It's
Richard, thank
it's
you
true.
For the call. I appreciate it.
Yes, and there was. I mean, it was just, you know, it was just the same old, the same old misinformation. Sometimes there's these new pieces of information. Ann Malik said something about methane being released if we dredge. I mean, that was the first any of us heard of that, and somebody else had some other wacko piece of information that nobody had heard before. But, you know, how are we going to get past this? And, you know, one thing we may not find a compromise, in which case, you know what? The city can go ahead and maintain its resources and fix its dam, fix its spillway. And as Dave Norris said, I think it was on your show yesterday, you know, and then send the bill to Rivanna.
Send the bill. Yeah, yeah. Because yeah, these are city-owned resources. At the end of the day, the city can decide what to do with it. It's the resources that it owns these reservoirs.
Right, exactly.
And it could just say, look, you know, we've looked at it. We've looked at the science. We've paid for these studies. We've talked about it. It's been a community discussion for years. This makes the most sense in terms of being fiscally responsible, not overspending, not putting too much of the burden to pay for all this new infrastructure on people that can't afford it, not tearing down forest after forest. This is how we want to move forward. And the county, as much as the city's been trying to reach out and figure out a way, a common way forward, and to compromise with the county. If the county's refusing to compromise and doesn't want to join the city in this effort, at the end of the day, the city could say, well, look, we own these reservoirs. We're just going to go ahead and do what we want to do.
Right, exactly. There was one bright spot at the moment, at the end, rather, and Dennis Rooker, who was probably the most contentious and held on to the county side most strongly and advocated for it. But at the end, he said, well, you know, maybe it would be helpful. He used the word helpful to have Black & Veatch, this is the city's engineering firm, come talk to the Board of Supervisors about what it means to build on the existing dam. I thought that was the one bright spot in the discussion. And quite frankly, I appreciate that. I mean, that's if they would do that, that would be a big step.
That actually is pretty huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially for somebody like Dennis to say, look, I'm open to new information, because
right,
what we've heard for years is we don't want any new information. We just want to go with the old plan, because this new information that's coming forward contradicts all the assumptions that the old plan was based on.
Right, right. And, you know, and what was most surprising is I don't really understand why Dennis Rooker, again, who's been really one of the most vocal opponents of the city's plan and advocate for the county's plan, seems to be so anti-dredging, and those are his constituents. He lives in that district where the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir is, and yet he's right alongside those who are saying, no, dredging cannot be part of the water supply, and maybe we'll dredge. You know, it's really—
Well, he's got to ask himself, once I leave public service, do I want my legacy to be, I'm the guy who stood up and killed the South Fork of the Rivanna Reservoir? I'm the guy who stood up and made sure that we never dredged it and that it just silted in.
And so, there is this proposition by the city. I mean, the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority is supposed to put out a request for proposal, a so-called RFP, for dredging. So go out and find out what, you know, local business or any business, what's the marketplace price for dredging, and what are the options that we have? This has been on the table now for a while. In fact, it's been on the table for about a year
and
a half.
The city's been trying to do this for years,
yes,
to
for
open
years.
Up, to bring in private business owners who dredge, bring them into the conversation, let them participate in this effort, and open this up to the marketplace, and the county has been stonewalling. They've kept that door shut.
And they're still keeping the door shut. But although this is going to come up next week at the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority board meeting, and hopefully the city, who I know has been asking about it, will make sure that happens. And that will be another really important piece of this puzzle. So I'm hoping that the city council won't go ahead and, you know, make a decision they'll regret without this really valuable piece of information.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith, and the phone lines are open for you, 977-1070. The latest chapter in the water wars here in Central Virginia. 5:24 on the clock. Bob is in Charlottesville. Bob, thank you for calling. You go right ahead.
Hey, Coy. Hey, Dee Dee.
Hey, Bob.
About a year ago, I did a little dredging demonstration up on the reservoir, and we saw the little bubbles coming up from the bottom. Those are from mussels and turtles, and we actually tried to light them because we thought they might be methane as well, and that is not methane coming up there.
No, we've seen that for years. We show it to kids and when we take them down to the reservoir. Yeah, there's a lot of biological activity.
I think Ann raises beef cattle, and she might be confusing turtles with cattle because I think cattle are the problem with methane.
Yeah, those are great demonstrations. If anybody is, are they still up on your website,
Bob?
Absolutely. Yeah, rivanadan.com.
Yeah, you should.
Cool.
They're really great videos.
Bob, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And of course, those cow pies—that's methane
exactly.
Right there. It's very interesting. Now, before we let you go, any other thing jump out at you from the meeting today?
Yes, actually, Dave Norris did propose the idea that there could be a legally binding automatic trigger. We could raise the dam, the 13 feet the city is interested in, the existing dam, and guarantee the county that they will get a rise in the dam should demand, and the county didn't jump on that at all. In fact, Dwayne Snow questioned why they should even trust the county. Trust the city. So, but I thought that is certainly
really.
Yeah,
that's pretty bold.
It is bold, particularly.
I mean, the mayor of the city of Charlottesville is offering to the county, "Hey, here's one way that we could
legally
have some common ground here. You want to make sure that this dam gets bigger and bigger." I.e., so you can build all your new neighborhoods out in the county. So Dave is saying, how about if we have we legally agree here, we could sign a binding agreement that if certain threshold measures
exactly.
are met, then that work is done.
Right.
And Dwayne Snow's response was, "I don't trust the city."
Well, he said, "Well, you approved the 2006 plan, and now you've got a new plan." But again,
that wasn't a signed legal agreement. Come on.
Besides, they're not proposing the 2006 plan. They changed it. Right? Yeah. Vanna changed it.
And that's
it,
another significant point that hopefully some young reporter in this town will latch on to, that the county is not advocating for the old plan. They've already changed to a new plan as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
That's an really a key point that I find interesting.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.